Okay, we are picking up six lines from the bottom of Mem Bezim, and Bez our learning is once again sponsored the Ilu, the Nishma Shulamis Bas Yaakov, the Neshama Sharav Naliyah. So the Gemara now says, Ibailu, we have a question about the situation with the slave. Evet Shemachro Rabba Liknas. What if Reuven, who owns he owns his slave Shimon, and he sells only the aspect that if Shimon ever got mowed over by an ox and ran over by an ox, so then that knas would go to the purchaser. So basically, the guy is like taking a share in what might be the potential 30 slime that could be for someone whose ox is killed. But everything in all other respects is actually still Reuven is still the owner. So machor o eino machor. Is there validity to this sale or not? If it actually happens that this slave gets killed, so by an ox, so then would it be that they would get the second person who purchased it, Reuven sold it to Yisachar, would Yisachar receive that benefit or not? So the Gemara says that really this is a question that fundamentally has to deal with the principle that we've discussed a few times already, and that is davar shelo bala olam, something which has not, I cannot sell you the perspective of something that has not come into the world yet. So the Gemara points out that this actually would be a little bit, Rabbi Meir is of the shita that you can. Right, or Meir says a peros ledekel. If a tree doesn't grow yet, can I sell you the fruits of the tree? So according to Rabbanan, you cannot. According to Rabbi Meir, you can. So the Gemara says that even within both of the mandamars in that machlokas, we can still ask the question in our case. Why is that? Because tibayel Rabbi Meir, tibayel Rabbanan. It could be a question both according to Rabbi Meir, who understands that a person can be kone davar shelo bala olam, and also for the Rabbanan holds that one cannot. Why tibayel Rabbi Meir? Because ad kan lo kamar Rabbi Meir adam makdado shelo bala olam. When does Rabbi Meir say this halacha? He says that when it comes to a tree, which is in the world, and first of all, the tree is here, and selling the peros, which will grow from it, that is something which will clearly be consistently coming year after year. So therefore, that you could sell those fruits, because that's something which is ragil, and therefore, it's something which you clearly know about. It's not, no smach, there's no problem. There's no problem with the kinyan. However, v'lahacha, here, with regards to the payment of something which is very far-fetched, you don't really think it's going to happen. Mi yemar deminga, who says that the slave is ever going to be gored down to death by the ox? So that's a very unlikely scenario, and therefore even Rav Meir will say that maybe that this case is something which is so unlikely to happen. Maybe even there he would agree that the kinyan isn't chal, because even if you say that it maybe he has in mind really that the slave will be gored down, he was always working in a field of oxes, so it was likely that this would happen. Still, who says that the owner of the ox is going to be required to pay the penalty? We have a concept called modeh b'knas patur. Turning on to Mem Gimel Amud Aleph now, dilma modeh mifter. Maybe the ox's owner is going to acknowledge the fact that his ox had done it, and therefore he's going to be patur from knas because of modeh b'knas patur. So therefore, it's very, very unlikely that this situation will ever happen, and therefore, since it's so unlikely to happen, unlike the cases of the palm tree growing fruits, this is a different fundamental shayla, and this is davar shelo balalam, which is very unlikely. Even Rabbi Meir would agree that that's like a smach, that would not be a valid sale. V'tibayler Rabbanan, and we could ask the question, even according to Rabbanan, who normally hold that a davar shelo balalam is never chal. But why is this case different? Because ad kan lo kamar Rabbanan ha'edam makdash shava balalam elok yigon peres ledekel, that when selling produce of a palm tree, which is mamash not in the world yet, the hashtam yilista, because right now the fruits are not in the world right now, they're only going to grow at a later point. And that is why the Chacham disagree with Rameir. But when it comes to this specific penalty for the shore, Hai Kai Shore, the ox that was the one, that same ox that was goring the animal is the same one that eventually was in the world right now, and the sale happened. So therefore, this is something which is Gav Eved, and also the slave is here. This is a Davar Shabala Olam. The penalty, granted, the penalty is not considered necessarily a parent that is the davar shelo bala olam, pointing out, because the penalty rates is really just a side point of having the animal gore the person, and that is something which is davar shelo bala olam, and that's what maybe even the rabbanon would hold of that. So the Gemara points out, what is the lacha? Is this a valid set or not? Meaning we can even touch it according to both shitas, Rabbi Meir and according to the Chachamim. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Abba Tashma, we can bring a proof from the Braisa. The Braisa talks about the slave of a kohen, and the pasuk says that v'kohen, we'll read the whole pasuk on the Aleph of the Torah, or v'kohen ki ikna nefesh kinyan kaspa hu yochel bo v'yili beso yimilchu bilachma. This is talking about a kohen who purchases a slave, kinyan kaspo. He can eat teruma. We pointed this out yesterday's daf. V'yili beso yimilchu bilachma. And the children of that slave can also eat eat truma. So the Gemara points, the Raisa points out Yelid Bias. Who is this Yelid Bias? The person, the child of the slave that the Eved Kanaan and the Shifcha Kanaan have children. That person can eat truma from the Kohen. So the Gemara points out Matam Lomar. Why does the Torah have to teach us this din that he gets truma? Imkinan Kesef Ochel Yelid Bias Kolish again. What is it? Its idea of being servitude? So the guy who is the actual slave is going to be the guy who was purchased. He previously wasn't a slave, and now he's a slave. He's allowed to eat truma. So what do you say? A kol shekein, a kavah chomer. Then the guy who was born into slavery, his children that he has with the shifcha knanis, clearly intrinsically are more of a slave than the first guy. And kol shekein, they should be allowed to eat truma. So the Gemara, so the Braisa answers ilu ken aisi omer, because if the pasuk had only taught me with regards to the slave and not the children, I would have said ma kinyan kesef sheyesh bo shave kesef ocha, that a slave who is the acquisition of the kohen, he eats truma only if he has monetary value. That the idea of kinyan kaspo implies that the slave has to have monetary value. He's at least a shave pruta, which is always what's called monetary value in halacha. So he has to be a shave pruta. But maybe a slave that is born into a kohen's house, he's only, if he has monetary value, is he allowed to eat? If he's a shavet pruta, is he allowed to eat truma? If he's not a shavet pruta, then he wouldn't be eating. So how do you have not a shavet pruta? Rashi Lehemshi is going to say, if you have a mukashrin, somebody who has boils, who is not desirable, nobody would want him, not even for a shavet pruta, they'll get out of him. They don't want his disease in the house, they want him to be far away from him. He's not even worth a pruta. So he's worth negative. So minayin shafa bishin shavet pruta klum. How do I know that even if the child is worthless, that he is going to be still able to eat truma if he's like a mukashrin? Tamad lomar yelid bias, that it says, pasuk says, someone who's born into the kohen's house, mikol makom, no matter who he is, meaning even if he is worthless, it is going to be allowed to eat truma. So the braisa continues, v'dayin ani omer, but still I could say, I can make the following argument, yelid bias, that a slave born into a kohen's house, bein sheyesh bo shavei kesef, bein sheyesh shavei kesef ochel. That's with regards to the child of the slave. But what about Kinyan Kesef, the guy who he bought him and he was normal, but now he became a mukashrin and now he's worthless? So maybe I would have thought Yesh bo shavei kesef ochel, that now when he was a shavei kesef he's allowed to eat truma, but now that he's ain bo shavei kesef ain ochel, that he should not be allowed to eat truma, because we only have the riboy with regards to the yelid bias. And it doesn't have any riboy with regards to the actual person, the Eved Kanani that the Kohen had purchased, and therefore I would have thought maybe he does not eat truma. Tam lomar Kinyan Kaspo Vilid Beso. We have a hekesh between these two halachas of Kinyan Kaspo, the guy that actually the coin had purchased, and the children, to teach you that we have the same halacha. Ma Yelid Bayis Afal Pishei Neshavei Klum Ochel. Afal Kinyan Kaspo Afal Pishei Neshavei Klum Ochel. That just like a slave who's born into the coin's house is allowed to eat truma even if he is worthless, so too a slave that is the property, the acquisition of a coin, also even if he's worthless. So the Gemara says, so now that was the end of the Braisa. So now Isaac Adaitav, the Gemara wants to bring a proof from this Braisa, that if you would have thought that Evet Shemachar Abel Knas Machar, that a slave whose Adon had sold him for the rights to the penalty is considered sold for that purpose, that it is a valid sale. So how could the Braisa tell me that we have a slave that is totally worthless? So why? What, that's never a situation. There's never a situation. Mika after the lamezab and the knasa, everybody would pay one penny for the right to potentially get the shloshim shalim, which is like, you know, $500. And would you take an investment, even if it's a 100,000 investment? Would you pay one penny for a chance to get a few thousand dollars for 1 cent? Of course, you have nothing to lose. A 1 cent is so meaningless to you. So therefore, everybody would pay a shavet pruta and eat, so for the chance that he dies. He's killed, he's mowed over by a, he's gored by an animal, that everybody would take that chance. So it has to be that if that would be the case, that there is a concept of purchasing the rights to the slave, then it would obviously be a shavet pruta. So the Gemara says, no, in Ika Eved Treifa, but what about a slave who is a Treifa? A Treifa is somebody, both an animal and a person, in the same halachas, that they have a life-threatening defect, which we assume that the person is going to die. So the special halachas, the person kills a Treifa, even Yid. If a Yid kills another Treifa, he's not Chayiv Misa, because we assume he's going to die anyway in the next few months, that he's not able to live throughout, I think a Treifa is defined as, if we know that he won't be able to live a year, so then a person would be Chayiv, not be Chayiv for killing him, so that would be the din over here also, that a person, the Knas would not apply to the Treifa case. And he's not worth a shloshim shalim. So you don't have a raya that you cannot sell just the rights to the knas of the Eved Kanani from this braisa, because maybe the braisa is talking about a case where he is a treifa. But even a treifa is able to be worth a shavei pruta because he could do something. Even if he's not feeling well, he still has something that he can. He has a treifa on his leg, so then he can still use his arms. He can do something. He's definitely worth a penny. He, to help you out a little bit, he definitely is worth a penny. So the Gemara says, no, benuval, benukashchin. The Rebbe is referring to a slave that is so incredibly benuval. He smells so bad, nobody wants to be around him. Or that he, like we said before, mukashchin, he has boils. That case is no value. And since it's also a trefa, he cannot be sold for even for the rights to the penalty. But normally, you would be allowed to sell it. Just in this case, you wouldn't, because there's nothing to sell for. So the Gemara doesn't leave that question unanswered. Now the Gemara continues, Ibailu, what about somebody who's a chatzio eved chatzio ben chorin, as mentioned before, the maker of din, he's not allowed to marry a Jew. But the question is, what happens if he does? Shegidas bas chorin, mao. Is there any halachic status to the fact that he's mekadesh a Jewish woman? Because of maybe the tzad chereshiba, which is a full yid, should be like he's being mekadesh half of a woman. And we have this very shaila in the Gemara Kedushin of Zayin and Aleph. Rava discusses this case of a person's mekadesh chatzi, that he says he mekadesh chatzi, that then in certain cases it would work. So the Gemara says, into Tlamar Basis Ben Yisrael, Shamar the Basis Israel, Kesher the Chatzia Mekudesh, the halach is, if a yid says to a woman that you should be married to half of me, the halacha is she is in fact married to him, because a person can't marry just half of him. When he's saying that he has that lashon of half, we understand it to mean that he wants to be able, as Rashi points out in Kiddushin there, that he wants to be able to marry the somebody else, not just her. That's what he means by half, meaning I'm giving you half of my time, that I'm going to be married to another woman. And that's what he meant, Ariya Mekadesh Lechatzi. Not that he's actually only marrying that half his body, kilo, or half of himself, that on certain days he had never meant to marry. That would not be a full Kedushin, and obviously would not be Chal. So that halacha works. So why should that work? Maybe we can make a chiluk though, because there's the Chazi Lekule. At the end of the day, she is Mekudesh is because she's eligible to be married to that entire husband, because he is a full Yid. So then that makes sense to work, and really just meant, as we mentioned before, he just meant that he wants her to be able to marry somebody else. However, if she's not eligible to be married to all to somebody fully to this man, meaning he's a chatzi eved, so maybe not. So here, this case is fundamentally different. And if you hold the other tzad, that since a case where a yid is marrying half the woman, there we would assume that he actually had in mind to only marry half of her, and it does not work. So there, Deshayar B'Kinyana, because there, he fundamentally is limiting his purchase, Kilo, his acquisition is a better word, of the woman. He's limiting that by only giving half, and he has the ability to do the whole thing, so it's a chisaron in the fundamental kinyan of the woman. V'ha'eved lo shir b'kinyano. When it comes to the slave, though, he's giving it all. He's giving everything that he can to this woman, and maybe it should not consider it a problem of shir b'kinyano, and it should be valid ma'i. So what's the halacha? Is there any status to this kiddushin or not? So the Gemara says, Tashma, we can bring a proof from the Braisa. The Braisa tells us, Hemis mishechatzu eved chatzu ben choren. If an ox killed one who is half a slave and half a free person, nosin chatzik nas rabba v'chatzik kofer liyorshav. He has to give the other half of the kofer to the slave's children. Now the Gemara asks, what do you mean? Yeah, Mar Kedushin, Lav Kedushin. You're going to tell me that there is no Kedushin to such a case of a Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chorin. So then, Yorshim Minale, where does he have halachic heirs? The Gemara learns out in Yevamos that only a person who's not a slave legally has children who are considered his own children. And Tosus points out that when it comes to an Eved, it's even worse. Meaning, a case of an Isser relationship, Tosus originally asked as Akasha, but they say, what do you mean? The case of if a guy has relations, Reuben has a beer with his sister, so their child is a mamzer. So the halacha is, right, he's a full mamzer, not allowed to marry anyone he is, but he still is Yorish, the father, Reuben. That's the halacha, he's still Yorish him. So why should this be different? They're violating the Isser, not Eved. I know, because Tosus is really worse. Because the lashon of the Gemara is eved ein lo chayis. He doesn't. It's not misyachis acharav. So he doesn't even have ability to do kiddusha. So therefore, if he has a child with this woman, he's not even considered the halachic father. He's not even considered the halachic father, and therefore, there are no children who can inherit this knas. So the Gemara rejects this proof because Amar Avad Bar Avak Shasu Tereifa. So it's not a raya. Meaning, we don't see from here that it is a valid kiddushin, and therefore it must be that the child was misyaches after him, after the father. Rather, Rav Adar Rava says, when we're talking about a case where the ox made the man a trefa, but didn't actually kill him, so he's still alive. And what is the lashon of my yorsh, and what does it mean by his children? It means, actually, it really means himself. It didn't mean his children, it really meant himself, to which Rav immediately detects us. This is a difficult answer. I'm a Rav, first of all, stay true whatsoever. Two reasons that you're wrong. One, chadad the yorshik tani. The lashon is his children, his heirs, whoever it is, his boy or girl, whoever his children will be, they're the ones who inherit him. That's his yorshin. Not that he's getting it himself. And so, secondly, v'od kofer hu. The additional payment to the children that we discussed over here is a din of kofer. Right? Kofer, the halach of kofer is somebody whose animal kills a yid. There's different halachas to the animals who kill a yid. As a eved, the side of the avdis shebo, that's a knas. And we have the special halachas, modi knas patar. But as opposed to kofer, that is a kapara for the people who the owner of the ox who killed the Jewish person. That's the halach of kofer, is a different halacha than the halachas of a knas. And Reish Lakish tells us, kofar ein mishtalim el achar misa, that even when it comes to knas of an eved, maybe you could argue that it's actual negicha which caused the eved, if it became a treif, you'd have to pay the adon. But when it says, Rashi says, when it comes to the halacha of kofar shaben chorim, the Rashi says, ksiv vehemis isho isha, it says that he will kill, that there's an ash to actually die, not become a treifa. So that is an answer which you cannot accept. The Rav is not willing to entertain that possibility, therefore Rav has to come up to a different answer. Elam Rava ra'oi litol. The Bryce says, talking about a case where the slave's heirs had to receive the half koper payment, but he doesn't have any children, and therefore the Bryce is not referring to the actual children, the heirs of the child, and there is no proof that he could be mekadesh a woman. That's the point over here, right? He doesn't have any yorshim, and therefore he is not he really isn't getting it to anybody. Now the Gemara continues. Amar Rava k'shem shemekadesh chatzisha ina mekudeshes kach. What if a yid, well, same thing by a man, if we were talking about a half eved, half slave for a Jewish or half Jewish person trying to marry a bas yisrael, what about the other way around? What about if you have a woman now, she's a shivcha knanis and she was half freed, so is someone who marries her mekudeshes or not? So the Gemara darash rabba bar avahuda, kishim shem kadesh chatzisha ina mekudeshes, kashivcha kishim kadesh chorin, this kashivcha ina mekudeshes. The lach is, it is not considered a valid kiddushin. So the Gemara says, "I'm rather of Chista midami." But are the cases really comparable? Hasam shir b'kinano. There, in the case of the man who is mekadesh the woman, it's considered that the man is limited by his acquisition. Achalos shir b'kinano. But here, when it comes to the person who's marrying, I don't know if I translated that word of mekadesh chatzi isha. Talking about a yid stam who marries half another woman of a chatzi isha. Just like that doesn't work, so too by the shivcha knanis doesn't work. So the Gemara points out that the case are fundamentally different. When you're saying you're only marrying half of the woman, you're shayar b'kinyani. You have to marry all of her, and that's why the kinyan is not chal. However, when it comes to the case of a Jew marrying this shivcha knanis, he's only marrying half of her, but he's leaving it out totally. So maybe since you're investing in all of this acquisition, then maybe it is a good kiddushin. Hachal lo shir b'kinyano, maybe it should be chal. So the Gemara says, Hadar ukim rabba barachumar aleh v'darash. Rabbi Ravuna had a they had a person, he would say something quietly, and they used to have the Meturgam and say it loudly for every to call out the, so he said the following drasha. The pasuk in, I believe it's Yeshayahu, tells us that in the time, by the Chorban, the Bayis Rishon, nobody really knew Torah anymore. Nobody knew Halacha, nobody knew Torah, nobody knew anything. So you're right, for the reason, the Chorban, we abandoned the Torah. So they would beg the person, say, come be our leader, because this is machshela, this is a stumbling block, meaning the Torah is under your hand, you know it, and it makes us stumble, can you please come and teach us Torah? So the Gemara says, Ein adam omed al davir Torah, ela im nichshal behen. That, why is the Torah referred to something as a machshela, something which you can stumble over? So the Gemara says that it's called that way, it's called a stumbling block, because a person who really knows the halacha, is unless he is rebuked and he makes a mistake, is he going to come down to the proper halacha? So I remember I once saw a big rav at a shiva, and I said shalom aleichem. I'll never forget that you're not supposed to say shalom aleichem to somebody else when you're sitting at a shiva. So the Gemara says alpha p she'abru hamikadesh chatzi isha ena mekudeshes. So the Rabbanan said that if someone is mekadesh is not considered mekudeshes, avach chatzi shivcha vechatzi baschoren shenuskadesh kedushay kedushin, that would be a valid kedushin. So Rabbi explains my time up because hashem shir b'kinyan achalos shir b'kinyan, that we keep that halacha, so it's a wrong halacha, that the halacha of Rava is incorrect. So that's what Rabbi is explaining. My time hashem shir b'kinyan and achalos shir b'kinyan. The Gemara says Amar Sheishes k'shem shemekadosh chatzi isha ena mekudeshes, just as someone who is ena mekudeshes kach chetzir shivcha chetzir baschor shem kadosh ein kedusha kedushin. So too, a half a slave woman is also not kedushin. Rav Sheshes points out, if a person is going to argue with me and bring a raya from the Braisa, Ezer Shivcha Charufa. Who is a Shivcha Charufa? What is the case of a Shivcha Charufa? The Torah tells you a person who has been designated to another person and he has relations with that woman. So there's machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Zo Shivcha Shivcha Chorin Amorosel Eved Ivri. She is married to an Eved Ivri. So the pasuk talking about the case of shivcha charufa, he nechrefes laish, that she's mekudeshes or ain't mekudeshes because she is half freed. So that's mamash a case where there's clearly a erusin, because the Torah itself recognizes this marriage, and you would have to pay the knas. Amar lo kalach etzel Rabbi Shmuel. No, let's understand it according to Rabbi Shmuel, shu omer b'shivcha knanis moros levet ivri, that there is no marriage when it comes to this case. Rabbi Shmuel understands v'hafti l'niftasa is just the understanding that she was a full fledged shivcha knanis. She wasn't partially freed. So Rabbi Shmuel is referring to a full-on shivcha knanis. So the Gemara asks, according to Rishmel, everyone agrees that a non-Jew doesn't have Kiddushin. So how do we have the Chrefes Lish? So how is Rabbi Shmuel going to explain this Pesukim? What would Rabbi Shmuel going to say? What is Meureses? Lashon of Miyuchedes. That means it was designated. I mean, everybody knew that they were together, but there was no halachic, even on the level of Doreisa, there was no marriage to their relationship. But everybody knew that he was designated by the other to him, and if someone else has relations with it, that's the case of Shifcha Rufa. Hachanami, so too, when it comes over here, my mureses, what's the lashon of mureses? The braisa, when it says mureses, is miuchades, and therefore she's not actually married, and there is no kiddushin. That is Rav Sheshe's disproof of that braisa. Amar Rav Chista, chatz shivcha chatz baschoren shenitzkasha l'Reuven. If she had been married to, tried to get married to Reuven, v'nishtachra, then she was freed. V'chazer nitzkasha l'Shimon, and then she married at the same time she was married to Reuven in this status of limbo. She now married Shimon. So then the Gemara says in Meisr Shem, and both Reuven and Shimon die. Halacha is misyabem es leLevi. She is allowed to do even with Levi. That generally, that this case is a chiddush, so we're going to point out that she's allowed to do yibum with even Levi. Turning on to Mem Gilam Abayis, ve'ein on her korba eishes shnei mesim. I do not define her as somebody who was an eishes shnei mesim who would not be permitted by yibum to the third brother. Right? That's the whole shaila over here. That what the Gemara in Yevamos tells us that when a person has one brother, so then they're considered the Yavama until a person removes her from Chalitza or does Yibum. So that is, Yibum only can be done right through Bia, we know. But there is this status of a Maimer, even though it's a meaningless for this purpose, but it's still, on the level of Darbanan at least, it's limited, it at least limits that he's the one who wants to do Yibum with her. So now, if the brother then is going to die after doing Maimer, so she would be both the widow of the first brother, because there was no Yibum or Chalitza yet, and because there was Maimer, also considered a widow with Maimer. This seems to imply that Maimer is a level effective and a level derisive here, because we're talking, if this is a full-on drasha. But either way, the point over here was that we don't call her the Ach of Shnei Mesim, because in this case, Reuben, that we're not considering her as a widow. Why? Manashach, as the Gemara is about to flesh out. Because, either way you say it, because whatever we're going to tie, that's going to work. E kedushin the Reuben kedushin. If Reuben was in fact a valid kedushin, so then we have a lecha that kedushin the Shimon lav kedushin. The second kedushin wasn't chal at all. A person who's trying to be mekadesh an iser kares, there is ein kedushin tosin b'chayve krisus. So that wouldn't work. The kedushin the Shimon kedushin. Now, if Shimon is a valid one, the kedushin to Reuven lav kedushin, then it must have been that Reuven's kedushin wasn't chal, and therefore, either way you slice it, it's going to be that this woman is shayach to only one person at the time of the death of the two brothers, and therefore she can in fact do yibum with Levi. Now the Gemara continues. Itmar, we learn chatzir shifcha v'chatzir baschoyrin shenitzkat shel Reuven. In a case where you have half a slave woman and half a free woman who was married to Reuven, nishtachra, then she was freed. V'chazir nitzkat shel Shimon, and then she again married Shimon. So now this is only relevant to the shita that says a chatzir a shifcha can be mekudeshes. That's obviously right. If not, then it would be no shayla. Rav Yosef bar Chama Amar Rav Nachman paku kedusha rishon, that the first man's kedushin becomes nullified when she is freed, and therefore she's fully Shimon's wife. Rav Zera Amar Rav Nachman gamru kedusha rishon. They said no, that the first man's kedushin became complete when she was freed, and therefore she is in fact married to the first one, not the second one. Now the Gemara, as they go back and forth. Amar Abzira Kavase di Mistavra, that it's more reasonable to assume like Maishita. Dichsev loyimsu kilochu fasha. The pasuk says they should not be put to death because she was not free. This is talking about a shifcha knanis. Hachu fasha yimusu. This implies that had she been freed after her marriage, she and her adulterer would also be put to death. Apparently, our understanding that is we're talking about over here, where the adulterer is completely freed her, and then she'd become a full fledged married woman. But if you understand like Rabbi Shmuel, as we said before, that it's talking about a full-on non-Jew. But according to that, how did he explain it? She's not dead. But if she hadn't been in fact been freed, you would be killed because of HSS. But that's clearly not the case, because there was no kedushin at all, according to Rabbi Shmuel. So how do you explain the pasuk according to Bishmael? You have to understand that she had been freed, and then she had been married again afterwards, lived with another person, then she'd be chayav misa. So then Rabbi Akiva could understand like that also. Achanami, you can understand that for everybody, that we're talking about a case of a woman who had been half a slave woman, and she hadn't been, in fact, redeemed, but then she married fully afterwards. And then only then would she then be chayav misa, would anybody be chayav misa for having relations with her. Amar Huna bar Katina Amar Bietzlik Maisa Bisha Acha Chesha Shivchat Baschorin, the couple of Abbas Baschorin. They freed her. So the Gemara points out, why would they free her? We understand by a man why you free her, because of Puravu. He's Chayav in the midst of Puravu. So, but however, a woman is not chayiv in peruvu. But that's a shayla. Actually, there's one tana. If you remember in the Gemara in the sixth parak of Yevamos, the Gemara pointed out the sheet. I think it's the parak. The Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka that says, "Damer al shneim uomer vayivarech osam elokim vayomer peruvu melus haaretz." That the pasuk was written to both of them, and she's also chayiv. It said to both of them. That's the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. However, I'm Rav Nachman. It's like, lo minag hefker naguba. No, it wasn't the din of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. Everybody agrees she wasn't chayav for Peruvu. Why did they free her for another reason? If she was not allowed to marry to anybody, so then she would feel like she has no accountability to ever be married, and therefore she had insisted on being, she would just have relations with whoever came to her, and that would lead to znus, that would be promiscuity, that would be not something obviously which is recommended, and therefore, because of the din of pritzus, they stopped this. They stopped her from being in the situation, and rather and let her become a full yid. Hamocher avdo. Next mishnah le'ovde kachavim. All the chutzar tiyata ben charim. Someone sells his slave to a non-Jew, to a dafkan ovid kachavim, someone who's ovid of a zara, or to someone who lives outside of Eretz Yisrael. Then the lach is we give a knas and he goes free. Why is that? So this is a fascinating din. The first one is that because we know that the Eved Kenani is chayav mitzvos mitzvos. He's not allowed to do any losases, and he's not allowed to, and he's has to do mitzvos asesh, lozman grama, like mezuzah, with other mitzvos, that is lozman grama, he'd be chayav in, like nisha. So if that's the case, so when you send him to this akum, he's going to be having to do Shabbos, he's going to have to violate so many halachas, so we punish the person who sells him by immediately freeing him through that sale. And the same thing also, you sell him to chutzarts, that you're violating the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, and he doesn't want to live outside Eretz Yisrael, so we penalize him by coming free. This is obviously a very important halacha in terms of the idea of, is there a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael? You're going to tell me that we're going to penalize him, and there's no mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, how could that be? This is one of the rayas they bring, this halacha, that it must be that there's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, even according to the Rambam brings down this halacha, the Rambam, Nilchus Malachim, brings down this halacha, this is one of the rayas that the Rambam seems to indicate that there would be at least a mitzvah, that's the whole shayla, how it is that the Rambam doesn't count the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so the Gemara says Tanu Rabbanan. So we learn in the Braisa, Mocher Avdo Olov Dekachavim. Someone sells a slave to non-Jews. Yatzal Lecherus, he becomes free immediately. Vitzarket Shechem Rabbi Rishon. However, we still require the first one to give him a get shechor in order that he could marry a Jew. That's the din we have before, that the Kinyan Momon Shabo is gone, but the Kinyan Isser, the fact that he is not allowed to marry a non-Jew, is not removed until we free that Isser Shabo. Amar Rav Shimon Gamliel B'med V'Marim, when do we say this halacha, that the slave still needs to be freed? Shalo Kasav Alav Ono. When he does not write in the document that he sold him to the non-Jew. Aval Kasav Alav Ono, but he did write his document for him at the time of his sale, Zel Shikro, that this document itself would be freeing him. So the Gemara asks, what is this ona? What is in this document? The Lashon Amar Shish is the Kasu Lahachi. The document which he's selling to the non-Jew, he writes the following, when you free from the non-Jew, I'll have nothing to do with you. If you write that Lashon, is that he himself is free to himself, and therefore, that would be fine. Tanur Rabbanu, we learn in the Mishnah, based on the Mishnah, based on the Mishnah, Lo ve'alav min oved kochavim. If a person borrowed from a non-Jew, with using the slave as a collateral, kivan shasal oved kochavim nimuso, once the oved kochavim is his nimuso, if he became his nimuso, we're going to define that in a moment, yatzal l'cheres l'alcha, as he goes free. So the Gemara immediately asks, my nimuso, what is this weird lashon of nimuso? Amar ravuna bar vyuda nashike. They used to put like a seal to show that he was, I think they did this in the times of America also, when they had the slaves, they had like different things that they would stamp on them to show that they were there avadim. So therefore, he identified this person as a slave, as his own slave. So the Chachamim, therefore, they would penalize the borrower at that point. So the Gemara says, Meisi Rav Sheshi is on this explanation that it means the seal. Because we have a halacha of harisin. If you have a sharecropper is someone who works the land, and he gets whatever it is, 10% of the field for his work. Chachirus is somebody who is a chachirus is similar to that, but he's accepting no matter what. You give me 10,000, you give me 10,000 tomatoes, no matter what it grows. If it goes 100,000, if it goes 1,000,000, I'm getting the rest of it. That's chachirus. Harisi basically avos. Or if you have a resim that were ancestral, meaning that their parents want to work the land on this deal, we're going to continue that deal as well. Or a non-Jew who designated his field as collateral for a Jewish lender, even though the Jew made it with the minog, the custom of the non-Jew, then p'tur mina ma'aser lacha is all these places that's a chiddush because we hold that this Tana holds yesh kinyan l'oved kochavim nafkim mina ma'aser. So by non-Jew having a share in any of these portions, any of this is a big chiddush that even if you're just taking a portion of it, or he's paying for part of the fruits, the whole thing, it removes all of the fruits from Meiser. Now, if you're going to tell me that we're talking about Nashike, we're talking about a seal, what is a seal, a non-Jew, a seal on the field over here? It clearly has nothing to do with a Nashiki. It can't be talking about over here that it means the seal on the field. So rather, the idea of the Nimus over here is a date. If you have a date on it, as the Gemara is going to explain what changes by the date, but if you have a date, that's what changes the halacha over here. So the Gemara says, Kasha Zman Zman, but there's a contradiction between one braisa and another braisa about with regards to halacha of Zman. The first braisa, which is talking about a slave, tells us if the payment is recorded in a loan, so then it's going to be like you're selling it. But the second braisa tells us that even if the second date is recorded in the loan, designated an item as collateral is not considered like you're selling it. So the Gemara answers, lo kasha. This is not a kasha, hata mata zimne, that the braisa is talking about a slave, speaks about a case that the loan's date has arrived and the lender has assumed ownership of the collateral, and that's why this halacha is the lender has assumed ownership, that's why he has to set him free. Whereas the braisa is speaking of a land which had not come about, and therefore he had not ownership of the collateral. So the Gemara says, Elagabi Eved, so the Gemara rejects this, the Gemara says, Elagabi Eved, Demata Zimne Tzrichal Mimar, but in the case of the braisa teaching us when the loan is date set to arrive, the previous Adon is free to set the slave. So since the slave had entered the possession of the non-Jew, it's obvious that he has to set him free. What would be Ela Idiv Idiv Lil Matas Zimne? Whatever we're talking about, with the date has not arrived. Lo Kasha Elagufa Valapira. The braisa telling us that the case of the slave itself was designated as collateral, and therefore that would be actually acquiring it. Pashut, that would be a problem. Elapira, in the case of the braisa is speaking about where he only the his work. He didn't actually intend to give him any of the guy of the land of the guy, and that's why that this din is different. Or we could just finishing the sugya, or we could suggest bishalova. I'm turning on to mandal malaf bishalova manas lemashkino. We're talking about a case where the borrower borrowed on condition of collateral if the loan is paid on time. Below the mashkino, and the lender did not collect the collateral. So even the lender had the right to acquire the collateral, he did not yet do so. So in regards to the lach of meiser, we say that since the collateral still belongs to the borrower, it's not viewed as though it's been sold, and the field is considered the non-Jews. But with regards to the lach of a slave, we do view it as it had been given over to the non-Jew, and therefore he is set free. Okay, Bezrashem will pick up with Tanur Rabbanan and tomorrow's stuff.